I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Granada is a lakeside city in Nicaragua known for its graceful colonial architecture and beautiful scenery, but yesterday the city was in turmoil. The mayor's office was in flames. Anti-government protesters set up barricades in the streets. They said they needed to defend themselves against pro-government gangs. This after more than a month of protests against President Daniel Ortega. Meanwhile, the tension is being felt in the Nicaraguan capital, Managua. Roadblocks are springing up in that city, too. Earlier today, I spoke with a resident of Managua who goes by the name Laura Sanchez. That's not her real name. She worries that speaking with the foreign media could put her in danger. Sanchez says Nicaraguans are bracing themselves for each new day.
It feels very tense in the morning. You don't know what's going to happen because usually the scenario changes from one moment to the other. For example, yesterday, Granada was having some areas set on fire. For example, the municipality building was on fire yesterday. And then there were attacks from pro-government groups to groups who were defending themselves. Stores have been plundered. And so it feels like constant paranoia and constant wondering what's going to happen the next day.
So failing a national dialogue in Nicaragua, the demonstrations continue. And I know you've been to some of these demonstrations. They're pretty big. What is it like to move through the streets when those are happening? Like, how many people are showing up?
We walked going through very difficult neighborhoods and areas where usually you wouldn't, you know, walk because you don't know at some point in the day if you're going to be robbed, etc. But during this protest, no one was robbed, not even the journalists who were carrying equipment, and people were all recording what was happening with their cell phones. So it felt very safe. Mm. We feel safe. And the inhabitants of these neighborhoods who are known for being very difficult people, they have actually helped us with water and they have showed their supports with their signs.
What do you want as an outcome from these demonstrations?
What I would like is that Daniel Ortega finally admits that he's not able to rule a country where, you know, the majority of the population is against the way that he has led during the past 11 years. I would like to have elections as soon as possible to have another government. And I would like to see that the political parties are more transparent in the way that they lead the country. We want peace and we would like not to have more corruption because we've seen the very biggest figures of the government are becoming businessmen and they have conflict of interest.
One resident of the Nicaraguan capital there. We also reached out to Yairince Perez on the story. He helped organize the protests that sparked the uprising in Nicaragua last April. Perez is now in Los Angeles, but he says he'll return to Nicaragua next month. In his Managua neighborhood, he says residents support President Daniel Ortega.
I live two blocks from UNAN, the biggest public university in Nicaragua with about 30,000 students. All the major road to UNAN, there's a blockade there, which the students guard the university that way. So the way to get into my neighborhood is through a back access. But it's really safe because my neighborhood is Orteguista, meaning that there's no clashes between students and neighbors inside of the community that I live in.
So, Yairince, you've described some of these protesters as peaceful, but there have been small businesses that have gone up in flames, that have been ransacked, and life savings have been destroyed in a matter of hours. So, I mean, how far are you as a protester willing to take this?
That's a great question, and I think there's a huge difference between attacking and self-defense. When confronted with the police, where there's a lot of evidence that they'd be using snipers and like AK-47s to shoot, but it hasn't escalated to the level of gun versus gun like it was in like the 70s during the revolution. I think a lot of the businesses that have been up in flames, it's very complicated because the government has used arson as a way to delegitimize the student movements, painting us as incentivizers towards violence, towards looting.
No, I understand. But even if you're saying it's self-defense, I mean, the outcome ends up by being tragic for some bystanders. So are you comfortable if the whole country follows this path?
I think at this point, we are afraid that if we don't keep moving on, there is going to be a witch hunt of student organizers and of community members. We already committed to the long run, whatever it takes, because if we don't, we would be giving up after over 120 people have been murdered. So at this point, we've definitely passed a point of no return. There's no giving up because the consequences of giving up can be even more violent than what they're happening right now.
That was Yarince Perez. He helped organize anti-government protests in Nicaragua.